Now, if someone mentions The Green Mile, you're likely to think of the Stephen King novel or the Oscar-nominated movie. But now, it's also the name of an historical walking tour of Ireland's best-known Victorian public park, St. Stephen's Green. Louise Denver joined tour guides Donald Fallon and Ronan Sheehan to get a sense of what to expect.
As you wander into the green today, it feels like a natural entrance that's been here from the day the park opened, but it's not.
A Wicklow granite ashlar arch is a landmark on the corner of St. Stephen's Green overlooking Grafton Street.
Fusiliers Arch, or Traitor's Gate as some like to call it, commemorating Irishmen who gave their lives in the Second Boer War with the Royal Dublin Fusiliers.
Donal Fallon begins the walking tour under the arch here today.
It's got a beautiful entranceway into the park. Interestingly, it's probably the only monument in Dublin that's been attacked by the people it commemorates. If you look on the side of it, you can see the effect of machine gun fire in 1916. Machine guns that were fired by the Royal Dublin Fusiliers at Irish rebels in the green.
Countries are not just founded by people who have military ability. They're founded by people who love. Countries are about families and about societies.
Walking south with guide Ronan Sheehan, we meet a well-known statue that's surrounded by daffodils. It's Robert Emmet. He's facing the former site of his family home, number 124 St. Stephen's Green.
Robert was from the corner of St. Stephen's Green, where his father was a surgeon in what was then Mercer's Hospital. And his family were a much respected and loved family in the city of Dublin. Also, around the corner lived Sarah Curran and her brother Richard Curran. He absolutely adored her and loved her. So he's faithful to his love. He could have gone away to America at any time, as in the famous ballad, the Ballad of Robert Emmet, a bark lay at anchor, awaiting to take me over the billows to the land of the free. But I must see my true love, for I know she'll cheer me, and with her I will sail all over the sea. Bold Robert Emmet, the darling of Erin, bold Robert Emmet, he'll die with a smile. Farewell, companions, both loyal and daring, I lay down my life for the Emerald Isle.
Toward the centre of the green, we see the bandstand in the distance.
Beautiful bandstand, yeah, and it's 7 years younger than the public opening of the park. It's here since 1887, funded by the Dublin Metropolitan Police. It's a real centre of life in the park. During the summer you come here and, ironically, you can hear the descendants of the Dublin Metropolitan Police. You can hear the Garda Band here during the summer quite often. A beautiful flower bed marks the centre of the green, but you do get a sense something is just missing. It feels like it's missing a centrepiece, and it is missing a centrepiece. In the 1760s, a monument was erected here in honour of King George II, and he sat on a very high horse, on a very high pedestal, looking down over Dublin. It was said you could see him from as far away as Nassau Street. Now, the George II monument is gone. It's one of the many monuments in Dublin that were bombed by Republicans. First attacked on Remembrance Sunday in the 1920s, ultimately bombed off the streets in 1937. So today, as you stand looking at the centre of the green, it does feel like it's missing a centrepiece for a reason. John Van Noss, the sculptor of that great work.
We head back north facing the Shelbourne, where there are many stories to be told, but Ronan recalls one in particular.
This is a story that comes from Constantine Curran, who was a great friend of James Joyce and a great memoirist of Dublin. And he tells us that he heard this story from his father. It's from the Shelbourne around 1860. At that time, Titian, she's Italian, she sings in the, I think it's in the Olympia, and there was a tradition in Dublin, which was around in the 18th century, they would take the carriage that the person was going to go home in, and they'd get rid of the horses and they'd pull the carriage themselves through the streets. So Titian is singing, right? And the students of Dublin, they go along and they hear her and they're absolutely in raptures over her. After the show is over, they get her carriage, they release the horse and they pull her back through the streets to the Shelbourne. And she goes inside, but they don't go away. They kind of keep clapping or singing or cheering. So eventually she comes out again and she sings to them Thomas More's The Last Rose of Summer.
Music is a harmless enough hobby. There's always been music in the park. Dueling is another hobby, and it's not quite as harmless. And there's a long history, especially in the 18th century, of pistol duels being fought here in the green. We know, for example, that men were shot dead in the early 18th century during duels here. And we know that the last duel happened in 1790, when Captain William Whaley, a member of the notorious Whaley family who lived on the green, shot a man dead in the park in 1790. There's also a beautiful bridge in the park Dubliners will be familiar with from walking over, and it's known as the O'Connell Bridge. So we've two O'Connell Bridges in Dublin. It should be remembered that Daniel O'Connell was a man who was fond of a duel himself, shooting a man dead in 1815. So dueling is really a part of the history of the park. Of course, O'Connell's duel happened in Kildare.
Circling back, our final stop of the day is to meet the Green's most well-known residents. We bump into them in their favourite spot, just beside the entrance.
The Ducks, in a way, I suppose you could say the Ducks are the descendants of the 1916 Rising. James Kearney, the park keeper at the time, he was a duck breeder. Indeed, he was an internationally renowned duck keeper. And incredibly, when the Citizen Army occupy this park and entrench themselves in it, there's a twice daily ceasefire observed. And that twice daily ceasefire allows Kearney to emerge from the park keeper's house and feed the ducks of St. Stephen's Green. So in a rebellion where hundreds of civilians died, it was a twice daily ceasefire for the upkeeping of ducks. When you look at the amount of children that died, dozens of children died in 1916. It seems incredible that the welfare of ducks was prioritised here in the park.
That's Louise Denver reporting there. And to find out more about the Green Mile walking tour, log on to littlemuseum.ie or check out our website for details. A text in from Paul Doran in Clondalkin says, wants us to mention a source of Irish history and one that's not taught anywhere, collected works of James Connolly or Ireland Her Own by T.A. Jackson, both available in Connolly's the Connolly Bookshop in Essex Street. I'm reading them presently and they are wonderful, says Paul. And that allows me to mention that on next week's programme, we will be asking the question whether James Connolly is an overrated icon of Irish history. And you can email your views to history@rte.ie. Just to mention something else as well, on the 15th of May, so later this week, in the Centre for Contemporary Irish History in Trinity College Dublin, they're organising a session, a day-long seminar, series of seminars on D-Day. D-Day, the Battle for Normandy, 70 years on. And they'll take place in the Singh Lecture Theatre in the Arts Building in Trinity College, starting at 2 o'clock with a lecture called Planning the Impossible, Operation Overlord 1944 by Dr. Ian Speller. And that's followed by Professor Eunan O'Halpine, Ireland and D-Day Security. So it continues until 5:30. Five lectures, should be a very, very interesting day indeed. After the break, the Strokestown Park House Archive in County Roscommon and this week's famine commemoration there.